This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well, 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 brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Can you introduce yourself for listeners and tell us a bit about the research that you presented on here at Better Together?
Sure. My name is Dr. Shane Worrell. I'm an academic researcher at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, also known as ARCHES, at La Trobe University in Melbourne. So I'm here at Better Together talking about informal mental health support that LGBTQ people provide to their peers, commonly when they're experiencing suicidal thoughts, depression and anxiety. And I was doing that with reference to a report that we released at ARCHES in late 2021 called Lean On Me. Some listeners might be aware of that report. So that involved interviewing 25 community members in Melbourne with support from the Northwestern Melbourne Primary Health Network, and they were all adults. And it was really looking at their experiences of being lent on, of being there for somebody who was experiencing those thoughts, suicidality, depression, anxiety, and being there for them when they needed it.
One of the findings that came out of your presentation that I noted straight away was that you talked about that sort of informal support is saving lives. Yeah. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, I can. So a lot of the people we spoke to had experiences of helping somebody who was suicidal, who was experiencing suicidal thoughts, suicidality. And striking about that was perhaps the frequency of that and the number of times that some people have been in those situations. So we spoke to somebody who estimated dozens of situations where they'd been helping people in those situations. So it's really difficult, of course, to know what the consequences would be if people weren't there for people in those times of need. But you know, we have to take those situations really seriously and think about what could be the consequences. So that's why we concluded that this care is vital, it's crucial, and indeed it is life-saving.
Part of being able to provide that care, I guess, is about being able to actually have the conversation. And so many times on Well, 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 we've talked about the stigma associated with mental health. From your research, is there any indication that stigma is less so amongst LGBTIQ communities? Like, are we more comfortable talking about poor mental health?
We certainly found more of an openness. I think people talked about how openly they had conversations about mental health and mental distress. And that was interesting in the sense that people could find themselves connecting with others about experiences of trauma, experiences of perhaps violence and abuse that they'd experienced, and how that had caused distress for them. So I think there was that willingness to talk about these things and a willingness to open up, and that leads to people providing support to each other.
And speaking about that support for each other, a lot of your findings were talking about informal mental health support. What do we mean when we say informal mental health support?
So we were looking particularly at a group of people who are helping their peers outside of professional and organisational settings. So I suppose if you think about mental health support as existing in three broad ways, you've got professionals who are providing support within a private practice or a community or a health setting. You also have peers with lived experiences working in those settings as peer support workers. But we were looking more at private spaces, I suppose, outside of any professional organisational context. So it could be homes, it could be workplaces, it could be community events, it could be, in some cases, bars and nightclub settings where people were just informally helping each other.
One of the rules that you talked about was the role of the partner. And I thought that was an interesting one because a lot of folks might assume that a partner is always in an informal care, but that's not necessarily always the case. But could you touch on that a little bit about that role?
Yeah, sure. So what I should say as well is that we talked about informal care being provided by various role types. And we looked at things like you know, there was the safe friend who was trustworthy and, you know, a go-to person. We had the peer leader who might be prominent in the community and leading a support group for somebody who's perhaps, you know, involving themselves in community for the first time. The housemate who might suddenly find themselves supporting somebody perhaps that they don't even know that well. But yeah, you mentioned the partner, and this was an interesting one because I think people would assume that a supportive relationship involves an element of mental health support. I mean, that's what, you know, you want people, your partner to support you in that situation. But I think we wanted to differentiate that type of general support with more acute support where somebody is feeling suicidal, and to make the point that that's not evident in all relationships. So I think the partner represents, the partner support role represents an extension of the usual sort of partner dynamic, and to an extent the other support roles also represent an extension of a role. And that's where you start to see how demanding some of that support can be.
But I guess, yeah, having those roles defined help kind of us identify the, you know, who's likely to be falling into these scenarios. We've talked about on the well before around carers and that comes with some challenges. What are some of the challenges and issues faced by these people providing informal mental health support that you've found?
Well, it is very time consuming. It takes a lot of energy. People are very much out of their comfort zones, out of their areas of expertise. A lot of people didn't have any kind of mental health professional training and background. So I think people are finding it difficult to, you know, maintain all the other responsibilities they have in their busy lives because, you know, life is complex and busy, and the responsibilities of caring for somebody else challenging. So we saw situations where people were feeling burnt out. They felt like there was impacts on their own mental health. In ways they felt isolated perhaps from other parts of the community by helping somebody. And there were feelings of helplessness, I guess, that people not feeling like they could resolve a situation for somebody and provide the right kind of support for someone.
Do we have an insight to how they, in the face of that, how they coped?
Yeah, I mean, it was varied. Some people were able to set boundaries around the work. They were able to turn to fellow community members for support. They were able to do self-care, you know, exercise, art, other kinds of expression that helped them get in a different kind of headspace. But that wasn't the case for everybody. So there was people who didn't feel they could access those other support networks. They felt like they perhaps needed to withdraw from a care situation, but they couldn't. They felt like that would be letting the person down, and even it might be unsafe to do so. So I think the coping strategies were unequal across the board. People didn't have the same resources, I suppose.
So with all of this information in mind around people providing informal mental health care support, what are the findings, what are the recommendations that come out of the report?
Well, I think, first of all, people who are providing this kind of support need better support themselves. In some cases, they're the last resort for somebody. In other cases, perhaps even if they're not the last resort, they're feeling like they're the last resort. And, you know, it's really, it's something to celebrate that people are willing to actually be there for other people and support them when they most need it. But it shouldn't be up to them entirely. I mean, the support that they provide should be part of a safer, more robust system of care that supports people with significant mental health distress. So this kind of informal support should be celebrated, but it should be one aspect of, I guess, more holistic care. We thought about recommendations such as Talking about establishing guiding principles to support LGBT communities to provide care to people experiencing chronic and acute mental health crisis. So asking questions like, what does a caregiver do when they need to help? But how do they come to know what to do? If you don't have any background in mental health training or education, how do you come to know how you respond? So I think supports like telephone support lines, web chat services, more investment in that, more awareness of it. And I think during the pandemic, we saw the emergence of the Rainbow Door, which has been a fabulous resource for this kind of thing. So more funding for those kind of things. Also to look at how people providing support can recognise burnout in themselves. How can they monitor their own well-being? Improving suicide prevention referral pathways for LGBTIQA plus people that are affirming and timely. And looking at bigger picture stuff, broader action plans for communities to prevent some of the situations that we're seeing at the moment, where people are in these situations where they're needing this support. So upstream stuff about not getting to this point as well.
If people want to find out a little bit more about this report, is that publicly available? How do they go about doing that?
The report's online, downloadable from La Trobe website. If you just Google La Trobe University and Lean On Me, like the song, you'll be able to find it pretty easily.
Shane, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Enjoy the rest of your Better Together conference.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ plus health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.